This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 18th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. With prospects for reconciliation for an Iraqi government waning, what's next for the American occupation there? At least one leader of the Iraq Study Group is now pushing for containment of sectarian violence in Iraq instead of continued engagement. President Bush appears to be digging in. Cato Institute's Christopher Preble, the director of foreign policy studies, offers his take. There has been continued disappointment with the lack of a cohesive government in Iraq. No real reconciliation has taken place. Do you think that there is a desire there among any of the parties to reconcile?
I'm sure that there are some people in Iraq, there's no question, who would much prefer that order be restored and that there be some kind of reconciliation. But the problem is that the dominant players in Iraq, all for different reasons, are not inclined to compromise. The Shiites, who were oppressed for so long by the Sunni minority, are kind of feeling their oats and are not inclined to compromise. The Kurds have managed to kind of solidify their control of the northern territories, and the Sunni Arabs, who lost so much after the fall of Saddam's government, are not inclined to compromise or negotiate from a position of weakness. So, if you look at the three dominant parties, the three dominant factions, that's why I think it's been so hard to achieve political reconciliation so far, and why I'm not particularly confident there will be a tremendous amount of progress over the next 60 days.
Is the increased U.S. troop presence there helping or hurting prospects for that type of cohesion?
Well, I think if the U.S. presence was conducive to political reconciliation, we would have seen more progress towards the political benchmarks than we did in the interim report issued last week. Of those 18 benchmarks, roughly half are political of some nature, and it was precisely those benchmarks that where the least amount of progress had been made. I don't doubt that some change in military strategy, consistent with what General Petraeus has done in terms of counterinsurgency strategy, has had some effect in some places. The challenge, as even General Petraeus's own counterinsurgency manual, which was issued late last year, specifies the numbers of troops you need in a country the size of Iraq to achieve a kind of control over the country, and we don't have anywhere near that number of troops in Iraq, and no one is advocating that number of troops. Frankly, it would be hard for the United States to sustain, even for a very short period of time, the numbers like you need, on the order of 400,000 or so, to have any reasonable expectation of success. So the bottom line is, while there may have been some shift in the nature of the violence, where there may have been some cases where the sectarian killings have gone down in certain places, it has gone up in other places, and it's a persistent problem from the very beginning, because we didn't have the number of troops needed to actually decisively win and a long-term counterinsurgency campaign.
Has the White House attempted to downplay the importance of those benchmarks?
The White House has focused on those benchmarks where there has been some success, and most of those benchmarks where there have been success, again, are more dependent upon the role the U.S. military is playing and less on kind of relying on Iraqi politicians to make compromises. The bottom line is, of the 18 benchmarks, of course, some are more important than others, and the two most important ones are de-bathification and some kind of reconciliation of the oil revenue, the so-called hydrocarbon law. Those are the two most important ones, in my opinion, and those are the ones, again, where there has been the least amount of progress. There also is some provisions for some kind of amnesty to try to bring in some people who in the past have opposed the occupation, but no substantial progress on that. And the regaining national government control or to stifling the influence of the militia movements in Iraq, again, that also is something that has made really no meaningful progress at all over the last 6 months.
A statement made by Lee Hamilton, one of the co-chairs of the study group, is that the military mission should shift from ending Iraq's sectarian conflict to containing it. Is this surprising?
No, not at all. I think that is essentially what I have argued and my colleagues here at Cato have argued for a few months now, that following a U.S. military withdrawal, there is likely to be an increase in violence in the country because the mere presence of U.S. forces is serving at some level to tamp down the full-scale civil war. And the object of U.S. policy should be to try to contain that violence as best possible. But as the Iraq Study Group pointed out, as Lee Hamilton and James Baker and others pointed out, that's why it's so crucial for Iraq's neighbors to be involved in a long-term plan for containing that violence, because just as the United States has no interest in seeing the Iraqi civil war spill over the borders, Iraq's neighbors have an even greater interest in seeing that violence does not spill over their borders. It starts by them pledging not to continue funding the various militias that are consistent or that align with their own preferred sectarian groups. But it also has to do with agreeing some kind of a regional solution that does contain the violence and tries to prevent that from becoming a regional conflict, which would be horrible for the people and also ultimately detrimental to U.S. interests as well.
You've pointed out before that even advocates of the troop surge had made their case in recognition that this might very well be a long-term engagement and the possibility of greater short-run casualties in hopes of getting other parties to step up. Where does that stand?
Well, the counterinsurgency doctrine does stipulate that there will be increased risk to U.S. to U.S. personnel. The counterinsurgency missions require you to come out of your bases to interact with the population in the attempt to try to acquire meaningful intelligence and to also establish some kind of trust and mutual respect. And so, sure enough, our troops have been exposed to greater harm, and the casualties among U.S. personnel are up. Again, you could make the argument that those kinds of losses were justified or legitimate if there was some confidence that over the long term, medium to long term, it was contributing to a solution. And again, so much of counterinsurgency depends upon a political reconciliation, a political process to be in place. And we've seen absolutely no signs at all, frankly, that's going on in Iraq. So bottom line, what we've seen over the last 6 months is some shifting of the violence, the burden of which falls disproportionately on our own troops, and no progress on the part of the Iraqi government towards political reconciliation. And so really the surge from my perspective so far has been a complete failure.
Christopher Preble is the Cato Institute's Director of Foreign Policy Studies. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. If you have a comment, send it to cbrown@cato.org. You may also make an online donation to support the work of the Cato Institute.